A message for our time on medical missionary work. Isaiah 58:55. These two chapters describe in a special sense our condition, our work, and its possibilities under God in Southern California. First, let us note the message to us describing our condition and the causes that have brought it. Isaiah 58, verse 1 to 6. Cry aloud and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. My people, even the faithful ones in the church, are guilty, for all have sinned. The real trouble is between their way and God's way. The difference in the two ways is of such a nature that they cannot be united. Isaiah 58, verse 8, 9. Our only hope is to give up our way and accept God's way. Isaiah 55, verse 5 to 7. God's way as compared with the results under our way. Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 14, 55, 10 to 13. The one is mercenary and disappointing in results, even to ourselves. The other is missionary and full of blessing to us and to others, and is crowned with everlasting success. Such is the work to which God has called us in Southern California. The appeals to this people show that God would have us give to the world a living representation of Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 14. He is calling for such a representation of medical missionary work in this field as the world has not seen since the days when Jesus of Nazareth walked among men and ministered to their necessity. Here, in this small territory, where the climate is so favorable and where thousands are coming in search of health, Christ would have his people establish everywhere memorials for him, institutions to which they may be drawn and learn of his healing power, places in which the laws of life and health shall be lived and taught in such simplicity that all may receive their benefit. Shall we not at this time study most carefully the light that has been given upon this important subject, that we may understand the mind of the Lord and be able to cooperate in his plan? Is it not time to put away our unbelief and go up and possess the goodly land? If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. Numbers 14, verse 8. That we may better understand the real purpose and plan of God for the medical work in Southern California, and may better appreciate its needs, we desire to bring to your minds a few of the many definite outlines for the work sent us by the Spirit of Prophecy, and rehearse to you a number of providential experiences that have attended the efforts put forth to carry out the instruction given. It may be that in the light of these experiences and the instruction given, our faith shall be strengthened and our vision cleansed to forsake our way and walk in the Lord's. Early in 1902, the following instruction came. To our sanitarium workers in Southern California, I have a decided message for our people in Southern California. For months, I have carried on my soul the burden of the medical missionary work in Southern California. Recently, much light has been given me in regard to the manner in which God desires us to conduct sanitarium work. We are to encourage the patients to spend much of their time out of doors. I have been instructed to tell our brethren to keep on the lookout for cheap, desirable property in healthful places suitable for sanitarium purposes. Soon, the reputation of the health resorts in Southern California will stand even higher than it stands at present. Now is our time to enter that field for the purpose of carrying forward medical missionary work. As soon as possible, sanitariums are to be established in different places in Southern California. Let a beginning be made in several places. If possible, let land be purchased on which buildings are already erected. Then, as the prosperity of the work demands, let appropriate enlargements be made. In Southern California, there are many properties for sale on which buildings suitable for sanitarium work are already erected. Some of these properties should be purchased, and medical missionary work carried forward on sensible, rational lines. Several small sanitariums are to be established in Southern California for the benefit of the multitudes drawn there in hope of finding health. Instruction has been given me that now is our opportunity to reach the invalids flocking to the health resorts of Southern California, and that a work may be done also in behalf of the attendants. On the night of October 10, 1901, I was unable to sleep after 11:30 at night. Many things regarding the sanitarium work were presented to me in figures and symbols. I was shown a sanitarium near Los Angeles in running order. At one place, I saw sanitarium work being carried on in a beautiful building. On the ground surrounding the building, there were many fruit trees. As in the visions of the night I saw this place, I said to our brethren, O ye of little faith, you have lost much time. On the lawn were the sick in wheelchairs. On the grounds of this beautiful place that I saw in the visions of the night, there were many shade trees, the boughs of which hung down in such a way as to form leafy canopies, somewhat in the shape of tents. Underneath these canopies, patients were resting. The sick were delighted in their surroundings. While some worked, others were singing. There was no sign of dissatisfaction. I awoke and for some time could not sleep. Many vivid scenes had passed before me, and I could not forget the words I had spoken to the helpers and patients. Again I lost consciousness, and other scenes passed before me. I was in another locality, surrounded by different scenery. Again, it seemed as if I were pleading with those who were sick to look unto Jesus, the great healer. I then awoke and began writing out some cautions that had been given me. In the night season, I was given a view of a sanitarium in the country. The institution was not large, but it was complete. It was surrounded by beautiful trees and shrubbery, beyond which were orchards and groves. Connected with the place were gardens, in which the lady patients, when they chose, could cultivate flowers of every description, each patient selecting a special plot for which to care. Outdoor exercise in these gardens was prescribed as a part of the regular treatment. Scene after scene passed before me. In one scene, a number of suffering patients had just come to one of our country sanitariums. In another scene, I saw the same company, but, oh, how transformed their appearance! Disease had gone, the skin was clear, the countenance joyful. Body and mind seemed to be animated with new life. God will work wonders for us if we will in faith cooperate with Him. Let us, then, pursue a sensible course, that our efforts may be blessed of heaven and crowned with success. This instruction led the brethren to make a forward move in medical missionary work. Plans were laid for the erection of a large sanitarium building in the city of Los Angeles. This move was contrary to the plain instruction given by the Spirit of Prophecy and called forth repeated counsel that the sanitarium should be outside the city, as is shown by the following. In an article dated March 12, 1902, MS-44-02, I read, Those who have true wisdom will plan to establish our sanitariums in the country, where the patients can have the benefit of out-of-door life, where they can sit in the sunshine, or, when the sunshine is too warm, under the shade of the trees. The patients are to be given the advantage of the Lord's health-giving remedies to be found out-of-doors, and the treatments given them in other lines are to be conducted on the same natural, health-restoring principles. Again, from manuscript dated March 17, 1902, MS-43-02, I read, During the past 3 nights, light has been given me that in the medical missionary work, we have lost great advantages by failing to realize the need of a change in our plans in regard to the location of sanitariums. It is the Lord's will that our sanitariums shall be established outside the city. The surroundings of a sanitarium should be as attractive as possible. Out-of-doors life is a means of gaining health and happiness. In flower gardens and orchards, the sick will find health, cheerfulness, and happy thoughts. All these representations, and many more, passed as living reality before me. I felt grateful to God, as I realized what an influence an out-of-door life among the flowers and fruit-laden trees has upon those who are sick, both in body and in mind. Let our medical institutions be established on extensive tracts of land, where the patients can have opportunity for out-of-doors exercise. This will prove to be one means for their restoration of health. Encourage the patients to live out-of-doors. Devise plans to keep them out-of-doors, where they will become acquainted with God through nature. As they take exercise in the open air, restoration will begin in body, mind, and soul. Jesus expects those who believe in Him to give the patients in our medical institutions the messages of God's Word as healing leaves from the tree of life. In another communication, dated March 14, 1902, MS-41-02, I read, In the visions of the night, I have been writing letters, and I dare not put off longer the work to be done. Night after night, I have been awakened at 11, 12, and 1 o'clock with a message from the Lord, and I arise at once and begin to write, fearing that if I do not, I shall forget the instruction given me. Thus it was when I was at Los Angeles. In the night season, I was in a council meeting, and the question under consideration was the establishment of a sanitarium in Southern California. One brother urged that it would be best to have the sanitarium in the city of Los Angeles, and he pointed out the objections to establishing the sanitarium out of the city. There was among us one who presented this matter very clearly and with the utmost simplicity. He told us it would be a mistake to establish a sanitarium within the city limits. A sanitarium should have the advantage of plenty of land, so that the invalids can work in the open air. For nervous, gloomy, feeble patients, out-of-door work is invaluable. Let them have flower beds to care for. In the use of rake and hoe and spade, they will find relief for many of their maladies. Idleness is the cause of many diseases. Life in the open air is good for body and mind. It is God's medicine for the restoration of health. Pure air, good water, sunshine, beautiful surroundings. These are God's means for restoring the sick to health in natural ways. It is worth more than silver or gold to sick people to lie in the sunshine or in the shade of the trees. The time will come when God's people will have to move away from the cities and live in small companies by themselves. If our people regard God's instructions as of value, they will move out of the cities so that they will not be corrupted by its revolting sights, and so that their children will not be corrupted by its vices. Those who choose to remain in the cities must share the disaster that will come upon them. Candid consideration is to be given to the matter of establishing a sanitarium in Southern California. One thing is certain. This sanitarium is not to be established in the city. This I have said repeatedly. Establish it where there is ground for cultivation, where the patients can have opportunity for healthful exercise. Out-of-door exercise, combined with hygienic treatment, will work miracles in restoring health to the sick. Grave mistakes have been made in establishing sanitariums in the cities. I was instructed that our sanitariums should be established in the most pleasant surroundings, in places outside the city, where by wise instruction the thoughts of the patients can be bound up with the mind of God. Again and again I have described such places, but it seems there has been no ear to hear. Last night, in a most clear and convincing manner, the mistakes now being made in our sanitarium work was presented to me. In a communication dated March 17, 1902, MS-43-02, I read, "I am unable to sleep. My mind is much burdened in regard to the location of the sanitarium in Southern California. There is a work to be done in California that has been strangely neglected. This work must now be done. Southern California is to be worked. Not half the energy has been brought into the management of the various lines of God's work that should be brought into them. The question of the location of the sanitarium in Southern California is of great importance and is not to be settled by the judgment of one man or of several men who are all inclined to want the same thing. At the time when this matter was under consideration before, it was left unsettled because all did not agree. The delay has been long, but thus abrupt haste does not show wisdom. Many are to have the privilege of considering the subject of the location of the sanitarium in Southern California. The Lord is interested in every line of His work. He understands when men are prepared to take hold of the work in the right spirit, when they are prepared to carry it forward wisely. His way is the best way. Last night the same scenes passed before me that passed before me 35 years ago, when the light was given to establish a sanitarium that would be the means of educating many souls in regard to right principles of living, and of bringing them to a knowledge of the truth. We must establish sanitariums for this purpose, and they must be so conducted that God can cooperate with the efforts made in them to relieve physical and spiritual suffering. God wants the sick and suffering to understand what it means to have the advantage of living in a sanitarium conducted in accordance with the principles of the gospel. Every worker connected with these institutions is to follow on to know the Lord, that he may know that his goings forth is prepared as the morning. If our missionary spirit were stronger, if the love of Jesus filled the hearts of those in service for him, many of the sick and suffering would be drawn to Jesus, led to the tree of life to take of its health-restoring, life-sustaining power. Again, in a council meeting dated April 13, 1902, MS-86-02, our sanitariums should not be established in the large cities. According to the light that the Lord has given me, in a little while from now, these cities will be terribly shaken. No matter how large or how strong the buildings may be, no matter how many safeguards against fire have been provided, if God touches it, in a few moments or in a few hours, it is in ruins. These repeated instructions from the Spirit of Prophecy stopped the erection of the large sanitarium in Los Angeles. Soon after, the Los Angeles Medical Missionary Benevolent Association was organized to take charge of the medical work in Southern California. Certain resolutions outlining plans and policies for the new organization were adopted. The history that followed I need not repeat. Suffice it to say that the counsel from the Spirit of Prophecy continued the same as is shown by a communication to the directors of the Los Angeles Medical Missionary Benevolent Association, dated October 13, 1902, from which I read. B-157-02. Dear brethren, during my stay in Southern California, I was enabled to visit places that in the past had been presented to me by the Lord as suitable for the establishment of sanitariums and schools. I have been instructed that the work in Southern California should have advantages that it has not yet enjoyed. I have been shown that in Southern California there were properties for sale on which buildings are already erected that could be utilized for our work, and that such properties will be offered to us at much less than their original cost. The work in Southern California is to advance more rapidly than it has advanced in the past. The means lying in banks or hidden in the earth is now called for to strengthen the work in Southern California. Every year, many thousands of tourists visit Southern California, and by various methods, we should seek to reach them with the truth. Our medical missionary work in Los Angeles should be in a much more favorable condition than it is. The Lord designs that much more shall be done in this city than has been done there. But I cannot speak freely about this at present, for fear that men will take advantage of what I say, and will endeavor by my words to vindicate wrong plans. Some of the brethren in Los Angeles have at times lacked spiritual discernment. They have not always been able to see what could be done by proper efforts on their part. A large work had been done in some lines, but the methods followed have not been such as to bring glory to God in the saving of souls. Various changes now came to the medical work in Southern California, which resulted in opening a small sanitarium, not in the country, but in the city of Pasadena. Instead of prosperity, reverses come to the work, which strained its credit and resulted in such heavy financial losses that the brethren were led to pass some very stringent measures against incurring further indebtedness in an effort to carry forward the medical missionary work. All this time, the Spirit of Prophecy was saying that sanitariums should be started in the country outside the city, as is shown by the following. Similar to B-145-04. Dear brethren, I wish to write you a few lines regarding the work in San Diego. We have long desired to see sanitarium work established in this place, not that we ourselves may be benefited, but that those who have never heard the truth may have an opportunity of hearing the last message of mercy to be given to the world. I have always looked with great interest upon the work in Los Angeles and San Diego, hoping that right moves would be made, and that the sanitarium work might be established in these important places. Every year, large numbers of tourists visit these places, and I have longed to see men moved by the Holy Spirit, meeting these people with the message borne by John the Baptist. The Lord has ordained that memorials for him shall be established in many places. He has presented before me buildings away from cities, suitable for our work, which can be purchased at a low price. We must take advantage of the favorable openings for sanitarium work in Southern California, where the climate is so favorable for this work. There are many other places in Southern California, besides Los Angeles and San Diego, in which sanitarium work could be started. To sanitariums in Southern California, people will come far and near, because the fame of the climate is worldwide. It is the Lord's purpose that sanitariums shall be established in Southern California, and that from these institutions shall go forth the light of truth for this time. By them the claims of the true Sabbath are to be presented, and the third angel's message proclaimed. Institutions in which medical missionary work can be done are to be regarded as especially essential to the advancement of the Lord's work. The buildings secured for this work should be out of the cities, in rural districts, so that the sick may have the benefit of out-of-door life. By the beauty of flower and field, their minds will be diverted from themselves, from their aches and pains, and they will be led to look from nature to the God of nature, who has provided so abundantly the beauties of the natural world. The convalescent can lie in the shade of the trees, and those who are stronger can, if they wish, work among the flowers, doing just a little at first, and increasing their efforts as they grow stronger. Working in the garden, gathering flowers and fruit, listening to the birds praising God, the patients will be wonderfully blessed. The angels of God will draw near to them. The fresh air and sunshine, and the exercise taken, will bring them life and vitality. At San Diego, we have made an advance move by purchasing the Potts Sanitarium in Paradise Valley. 3 years ago, light was given me that our people in Southern California must watch for opportunities to purchase such properties. I told our brethren that they would find already for use and for sale at reasonable prices just the buildings they would need for their work. And thus it has proved. In a most remarkable way, the Lord is preparing the way for the advancement of His work in Southern California. For 2 years I have been interested in the Potts Sanitarium property, and had advised and urged our people to secure it. I advised those having charge of the medical work in Southern California to purchase the building, and when they hesitated, because of a lack of funds, I persuaded Sister Gotzian and Brother Ballinger to join me, and we have purchased the Potts Sanitarium and 8 acres adjoining for $5,000. Something similar can be done in the neighborhood of Los Angeles if wise plans are adopted for the carrying forward of the work, and if the men to whom God has entrusted His talent and means will put their money into use for the honor of God and the blessing of humanity. We have not purchased the Potts Sanitarium to gain an advantage to ourselves, but to help in carrying forward the work which Christ has given us to do. From the light which was given me when I was in Australia, and which has been renewed since I came to America, I know that our work in Southern California must advance. The people flocking there for health must hear the last message of mercy. God has not been pleased with the way in which this work has been neglected. From many places in Southern California, the light is to shine forth to the multitudes. Present truth is to be as a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. Southern California is world-renowned as a health resort. Every year, thousands of tourists go there. These must hear the last warning message. We are called upon by God to explain the Scriptures to these people. We are not to build hotels for the accommodation of tourists, and we are not to establish sanitariums in the cities. We are to establish our work where we shall be able to do the most good to those who come to our sanitariums for treatment. From the Review and Herald, dated March 16, 1905, I quote the following. During the spring of 1902, the attention of several of our brethren was called to the Paradise Valley Sanitarium building, which was erected for a sanitarium by Mrs. Mary L. Potts about 20 years ago. In September 1902, after the Los Angeles camp meeting, we spent a week in San Diego and visited several places that were offered us for sanitarium work. In the building offered us by Mrs. Potts, it seemed to me we found about all that we could ask. A year before, light had been given me that our people in Southern California must watch their opportunity to purchase such properties, and it seemed plain to me, and to those who were with me, that the opportunity of securing this place was a fulfillment of the encouragement given us. In December, we learned that this place could be purchased, and I encouraged Dr. Whitelock to take steps to secure it. But our leading brethren in the Southern California Conference were not ready to cooperate in the matter, and nothing was done. In the summer of 1903, the property was offered us for $8,000, and again we found that our brethren were not in a position to act. In January 1904, Dr. Whitelock wrote me that the mortgage could be bought for $6,000, and perhaps less. Again, I advised our brethren connected with the medical work in Southern California to secure the place. But I learned that they were not prepared to act. Then, I laid the matter before Sister Gatzian, and she consented to join me in securing the place. We then telegraphed an offer of $4,000 for the mortgage. 2 days later, a telegram was returned accepting the offer. Meanwhile, a letter from other parties in San Diego was on its way to New York, offering $6,000 for the mortgage. When we visited the place in November 1, 1904, we found that much had been done during the summer. Our great anxiety about the place was the matter of an ample supply of water. The great question was, can we get plenty of water by digging? The well diggers had gone down 80 feet and found a little water, but they wanted much more. Oh, how much depended upon our finding plenty of good, pure water. From the beginning, I had felt the assurance that the Lord would open the way for our work to advance, but who could tell when and how? Our people were deeply desirous of seeing the sanitarium make a success, and as we met them, the question was, "Have you found water?" The next morning, Brother Palmer came up early to tell me that there was 14 feet of water in the well. The water is soft and pure, and we are greatly rejoiced to know that there is an abundant supply. This well is a treasure more valuable than gold or silver or precious stones. During the last 3 nights of my stay at this institution, much instruction was given me regarding the sanitarium which for years had been greatly needed and which should long ago have been equipped and set in working order. Our sanitariums are one great means of doing medical missionary work. In a letter dated June 26, 1905, I read again, B-241-05, Dear Brethren and Sisters, as we returned from the General Conference, we stopped 10 days in Southern California, and between the council meetings at Los Angeles, we made a short visit to San Diego and spent 4 days at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. I am much pleased to see the sanitarium fully furnished and in running order. My heart rejoices as I review the way in which the providences of God work to help us to secure this property. More decided efforts are to be put forth in Southern California. There is a great work to be done in this field. We have done all in our power to advance the work there, and now that this sanitarium property in San Diego County has been purchased, we call upon our brethren and sisters to aid us in properly equipping the institution that we may do successful work. I ask those who have been entrusted with the Lord's money to make gifts to this sanitarium, that it may be prepared to do the work that must be done for the sick and suffering. Brethren and sisters, I plead with you to help forward our sanitarium work. The Paradise Valley Sanitarium is in need of assistance. I ask you, my dear friends, to help us in this time of need, and I believe you will. Such, in brief, is the instruction, the history, and the experience in connection with the establishment of the sanitarium at San Diego. Had we lived in those days, what would have been our attitude?